New birth. The new birth is the title of our sermon today. It's John chapter 3, verse 1 to 21. And the introduction here today, as you open the Bible, it's going to be very short. First, it is the picture. Do we have the picture there? A baby on the womb. Can you see it? Yeah? And the next one is the stylist, nice, good-looking baby. Let's see, there is the next one. Yeah. The new birth. Aren't they cute? Very cute. So this is the introduction, the new birth. And this is my words as introduction. This is one of the most important sermons you ever listen, I will ever preach. You got it? Okay, good. Let us pray. Lord, give us grace to understand the truth of the new birth. Nicodemus struggled to understand. I pray that we don't. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us read. We're going to make some stops for the sake of time. And we go from there. You can pull up the first point already. Because I want us to read with the first point in mind. The need for the new birth. The first point of this sermon is the need. It is a question of life or death. Let us read from verse 1 to verse 10. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miracle signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised that at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? First point is the need of the new birth. Pay attention to verse 3 with me. I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Pay attention to verse 7. You should not be surprised, Nicodemus. You should be born again. Is that what the Bible is saying? You may be born again. What the Bible says? You must be born again. And Nicodemus' question is very interesting because he's an old man. He wants to see the kingdom of God. He wants to enter the kingdom and he asks, how can I do that? I'm old. I surely cannot go back to the womb. Now it's good to put the picture of the womb again. Leave it there. Surely I cannot. And so, Jesus is amazed that Nicodemus is not understanding. But we need to be honest. This is not something easy to understand. Jesus is talking about a spiritual reality. Correct? I barely understand how a baby, beautiful, it's formerly in the womb, how much more would I understand a spiritual and new birth? It is not too easy to understand, but Jesus is surprised that Nicodemus is not understanding, because Nicodemus is a rabbi. And as a rabbi, Nicodemus knows the prophets. And you know the man I'm going to mention here, his name is Ezekiel. Raise your hand if you know the prophet Ezekiel. He is the one who said that God would take out of our hearts of stone and give us what? A new heart. And he would put his spirit in our heart. Ezekiel is the same man, because you're going to see verse 8, it talks about the wind, is the same man who saw the dry bones. And what happens to the dry bones? He prophesies, come, Spirit of God, blow into these dry bones. And what happened to the dry bones? He became alive. But Ezekiel concludes his book talking about the temple of God, 7 chapters, only to talk about the house of God. And he says that what is beautiful about the house of God, it's alive. And why it is alive? Because there is a river of water, which symbolizes the Spirit of God. It's in that house. What brings life to the temple, it is that there is water, there is the Spirit of God. And so Jesus is mentioning all of this to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you need to be born from the water and the Spirit. Nicodemus, the wind blows whatever it wants. Nicodemus, you need to be born from inside out. Something must happen inside you. The Spirit of God needs to dwell in you. But Nicodemus did not understand. And why did Nicodemus didn't understand? Because he didn't understand verse 6. Let us read verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Here is the heart of the teaching. Raise your hand if you are above the age of 50. Okay. Raise your hand if you're under 30. I still have 3 months. I'm very young, but pay attention to this. Flesh gives birth to flesh. I'm young. I'm still not wise because I'm young. And I'm broke because I'm young. And as you get old, you are wise. And you get money. I'm young. I have energy, but I have no wisdom and no money. I'm not going to say you. Others are older. They have money and wisdom. But the energy, you get home and you can conquer the world because now you're wise. Now you have the source, the means. But what do you want? Lazy couch. Remote control. Let someone else change the world. Is that true, Leo? It's very true. Unless you look like an uncle crying, that's the truth. What is Jesus saying? Flesh gives birth to flesh. I'm sorry, there is no hope in there. And this, I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about flesh like flesh. The reality of life. But if we want to take what Jesus really wants to say, it is that we deal with the sinful nature. Flesh equals carnality. Flesh equals sin. Flesh equals the things we do that are not that very good. And flesh gives birth to flesh and keeps going. It starts with Adam and Eve, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and will never get better. But the Spirit gives birth to what? Spiritual things. The Spirit is wise. The Spirit has resources. The Spirit is always alive. The Spirit is eternal. The Spirit is holy. The Spirit dwells in heaven. The Spirit created paradise. Therefore, if you are born in the Spirit, what's your destination? All of that that I just told you. Do you understand? Raise your hand. Makes sense, right? That's what Jesus is saying. Nicodemus did not understand. But that's what Jesus is saying. And that's why all of us, pay attention to this. We are in John 3. What happens in John 4? Jesus meets someone, a lady, the woman of the well. Chapter 2, Jesus goes to the temple and people believe in him, but their faith are superficial. It's the multitudes only believing the miracle. So we have the lady who is an adulterer. We have the multitudes who are very superficial. And we have a very religious man all together. And John is giving to us one message. What is the message? You need to be born again. No matter if you are the adulterer woman, you need to be born again. No matter if you are the doctor of the law, the religious man, the pastor, the elder, the deacon, you need to be born again. No matter if you are far, you just know Jesus about what they say about Jesus, what do you need? You need to be born again. That's the need. Now let us see the nature of the new birth. It's the second point. And there is the nature of the new birth. It's what the new birth is not and what the birth it is. Pay attention to me very carefully, because if you miss this, you miss everything. The new birth, it's not something we can achieve. Repeat with me, achieve. Okay, good. Let us take Nicodemus as an example of what it's not, the new birth. It is not financial blessings. He is a wealth man. As a matter of fact, if you see John later, he is one of the people who helped Jesus in his burial. But it's not financially blessing. I know there is people who preach, if you have money, therefore God likes you. No, no, no. If things are well, God likes you. No, no, no. God's people, from Abraham to Gustavo and to you, all of us suffer. Is that true? And you're still loved by God. That's not the new birth. Second thing that the new birth is not, it's religion. We are talking with a Pharisee, rabbi, but he's not only that. He is a master. Bachelor, master, doctorate, post-doctorate. That's Nicodemus. And what does he need? He needs to be born again. But maybe now this one we get very confused. The new birth is not something we can achieve. It's not the good and right information about Jesus. He knows Jesus. He talks about Jesus, Master, you came from God. Master, you perform miracles. Master, you are a rabbi. All of that is true about Jesus. But that's not the new birth. Is that clear? I know a person, I want to illustrate this for you so you understand. Whoever you say famous, LeBron James, I don't know. Tell someone famous. Gustavo, whoever famous person, he says this, I know that person. I one day want to give a call to the famous person and say, hey, do you know this guy? And what's going to be the answer? I don't know him. Because the new birth, it's not my good information about Jesus. The new birth, what is it? Now we need to read from verse 11 to verse 17. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God, the most famous verse of the Bible, we can do this one together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What is the nature of the new birth if it's not something we achieve? And this is clear on verse 13. Pay attention to verse 13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. Nobody achieves, nobody makes to heaven, nobody performs to heaven, nobody saves themselves. Heaven needs to come to earth. The nature of the new birth, it is, verse 16, it is a gift. Verse 16, it is from God. And verse 8, it is supernatural. Let us see the figure Jesus is using here. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Can you see the wind? Can you control the wind? Can you tame the wind? The guys from forecast, they work with wind and they always miss. They say it's going to rain and it's sun outside. If you're laughing, you know it's true. So, we cannot see it. The wind is free. Pay attention to this beautiful detail. In the Bible, the word wind and spirit are the same word. Ruah in the Hebrew and pneuma, where we have the word pneumonia. Pneumonia, right? The disease? Yeah. Pneuma is the word in Greek. And all of them, it's either wind or spirit. The wind, the Spirit of God, he's free. And the text says that he blows everywhere, wherever he wants. We think he's blowing now as I speak. But I'm gladly tell you that he blows in the place we wouldn't go. He blows in downtown Toronto where there is drugs happening. He blows in the nightclub. He blows when people are at home. He blows wherever it pleases. Every single day, the Spirit of God is doing what? Blowing. Blowing. I love you. That's not the life I have for you. Hear my words. The wind, remember, we just prayed the Heavenly Father, and it's the perfect picture. Because Father is in heaven, yes, He's above, He's beyond, He's holy. Nothing compares with Him. That's the view we must have of God, yes. But also, do with me the same above and beyond and separate and holy heaven wind, it is the one we breathe. The same God who is high and above is the God who wants to be where? Within. He wants to give the new birth where? Within. He wants to take the heart of stone from where? Within. He wants to dwell where? Within. The new birth, the nature of the new birth, it is that. And it is a mystery. And remember, every time we talk about the word mystery, we have our Western mindset. Mystery, it's a secret. Don't touch it. Taboo. Let's not talk about politics. But in the Bible, the word mystery is something that it was hidden, precious, and it's hidden. But now it is what? Revealed. Pay attention. Can you see? It's still hidden, but you can see. It is supernatural, but you can see. It happens inside the heart, but you can see. The person who is born again, you can't open his heart and see if the Spirit of God is there. But you can see if the Spirit of God is there when he speaks, when he listens, when he walks. He has new attitude, new hope, new goals, new beliefs. He was what? Transformed. It is within. It is a mystery. But everybody can see. Here it's a very good illustration. At my work, there is few ethnicities that come more often to me. Ones are the Africans. And all of them in the morning love their hot water. One is from Nigeria, one is from Ghana. They're from different parts, but they all have the same routine in the morning. Most of them don't eat pork. And I ask, are you Muslim, Jewish? No. It's just we don't. And then come the South Americans. Good people. Very good people. Better cut this one, Igor. Don't record this one. Always problem with document. I need this and that document to serve you. I don't have. But please give it to me. Later I'll bring to you. No, I need now. Later I'll bring to you. No, Gustavo, let's find a way. A loop in the law. Close your eyes. Let's do something. And you think the problem is just in the border of the U.S. No, the problem comes to me. Wherever there is South Americans, there is problem. I'm glad to tell you that your pastor is South American. There's a solution here. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the Spirit of the Lord is within you, Jesus is expecting some traits in you. Some habits in you. That's the nature of the new birth. But now let us understand practically what's the road to the new birth. And the road, we just read it. And you see how Jesus is a good teacher. He is a true rabbi. He was talking about the prophet, and Nicodemus, who knows the prophets, didn't understand. So now Jesus is going to change the person. Not Ezekiel anymore. Let us talk about Moses. Surely you know Moses. In Numbers chapter 21, there is something that happens with the Israelite camp. They always, as always, they sin against God. And God sent some serpents, snake, to punish them. And every time the serpent bites them, they would die. But pay attention, it wasn't a few serpents. It was a lot of serpents. Everywhere they go, there was a serpent. It was impossible to escape. And as soon as the Israelites saw it was impossible to escape, they cried out to Moses. And Moses cried out to God. And then Moses does, and God says what? You know what you're going to do, Moses? You're going to get a stick of wood and you're going to put it up. Put it in a place that everybody can see. And you're going to take bronze. Pay attention to this move. You are not taking a serpent and putting on the wood. You leave the serpent. You're taking bronze and make it look like a serpent. Did you follow me? This is very important. And everyone who looks at it will be saved. Will be healed. So now Jesus gets this and apply this to him. And apply this to his cross. Why is it important we understand that Moses take bronze and not the serpent? Because, first of all, remember that our problem, it's not the serpent of Numbers chapter 21. Our problem is the serpent of Genesis chapter 3. That beat Adam and Eve with the poison of sin. Now Moses is told to get bronze, that which is pure, that which is poisonless, and look like the serpent, and look like the problem, and look like what it's killing the people. Is Jesus God? Yes. Is Jesus man? Yes. He is calling him the Son of Man, the perfect man. What is the great difference between Jesus and Gustavo? Gustavo was beaten by the poison. Jesus was never. Gustavo has a sinful nature. Jesus has never. Gustavo struggles with sin. Jesus has never. There is poison in my blood because of the serpent. Jesus has never. And so when you look to him and you go to his blood, he is the perfect antidote. Because you can take the blood, it's going to match with mine. But there is no poison there. It can heal. it can save. And what you need to do? To look. But pay attention to me. Do you think look means sightseeing? No or no? Well, you see, Jesus says, nobody can see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus automatically understood, I cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So to look to Christ, it doesn't mean to see, it is to enter, to believe, to engage, to come into a relationship with Him. There are things that I claim I believe, but if you ask me, I don't do much about it. It's a very weak belief. But there are things that I do believe, and those I do. I believe in work. Men should work. Young men should work. I'm there. I believe you should spend time with family. I'm there. I believe in the church. You need to be in the church. You need to be God's people. I'm there. Some other things, I just have an opinion. I agree, but, you know, far from me. See means to enter, to engage, to come to that relationship with Jesus. Not one time confession of faith, not one day baptism with the water. I engage in a relationship with Jesus. Everybody who believes in Him will be saved. At my work, we have supply for the homeless, but not all the homeless get the supply. We do have, but not all of them get. Because although the supply is for everyone, just like Jesus' sacrifice is for everyone, only those who see, who enter, who believe, take the supply. Amen? That's the road to the new birth. And finally, the results of the new birth, and we finish here. Verse 18, until the end. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. What are the results of the new birth? Very, very quickly, I'm going to talk about the ones we can't see, but it's there. It is salvation. You are free from condemnation. God did not send His Son to condemn or to judge. Sent to what? To save. Very clear in the text. Second one is that we have what we like to call in the Reformed Church, assurance of salvation. We are not afraid that one day you're saved and the other day you're not saved. One day you are a son of God, the other day you are a son of devil. We are not afraid of that, because pay attention to verse 19. This is the verdict. The verdict has already been passed. If there is a verdict for condemnation, those who don't believe in Jesus, they are already condemned. How much more there is a verdict for those who believe in Jesus? They are already saved. Do you understand that? So we have salvation, we have assurance of salvation. But here's what I want you, and I want to conclude this sermon. Jesus concludes this talking about deeds. We just talked about that the nature of the new birth, it's not something we can achieve. It must be a gift. It must come from God. It must be supernatural like the wind. But he finished the sermon talking about deeds. Not achievements, but deeds. Interesting, right? He's talking the whole sermon about things that are abstract. Heaven, paradise, the bosom of Abraham, hell, lake of fire, condemnation, the last day, all things that are abstract. They are spiritual. We can't see. But he concludes the sermon talking about deeds as the result of the new birth, things which we can see. Why? For the reason I told you already in the example. It is a mystery. It happens within. We cannot see the new birth. It is spiritual. It is beyond our comprehension. But we can see its results. And Jesus wants to conclude telling you this. As I was preparing this sermon, the person I like to draw my teachings from, he gave an illustration that I want to finish the sermon with. He says that one man once went to the church, and he did come to the church not for the reason we go to the church. He went only to the parking lot of the church, not to make donuts. You know we struggle with those guys making donuts in the church. Yeah. Not for making donuts. He went to the parking lot because he was a car thief. In a car thief Brazilian style, he carries a gun. He's an evil man. And so the congregation was in the service, and I'm so blessed that my car is so cheap and ugly. He would go for the nice car like a GM, like Tony Terrain, nice car, you know. And he says that as he was searching for a car, the songs that the church was singing was heard from him. And he says that it was like a power that starts to bring him from inside out to the church. He said that he could not stop but to go to the church. And he walks in the church, and pay attention, he is the evil man. So he walks with the gun on him. He walks all cocky, all like, you guys should be careful with me. Here, no matter if the pastor is speaking, no matter who is the authority, as soon as I pull the gun, I am the authority. And he says that the song kept and kept and kept singing, the worship of the congregation, the Spirit of God moving. And he says that it overpowered him. From that moment on, it didn't matter if he had a gun, if he was there to thief. It really didn't matter. That man has never made to the end of the service. He went back home. And as soon as he gets home, I don't know if his wife knew that he was a car theft. Probably she knew. And she says, what happened? You look different. Did anything happen? And that man's word was, lady, my wife, the man you once knew, he is dead. I am what? A new man. That's the new birth. It's when people look at you and even you look to the mirror, and what do you say? I'm a new person. The old Gustavo is dead. Have you ever seen that I barely talk about my past? Sometimes you question me. I know you have some curiosity. Let me be honest with you. That guy is dead. Even I struggle to go back. Not because I don't want or painful. He's dead. I just know about my new me. My question to you then is, have you died already? Not physically, please stay here. I love you. I need you. But have you died? Is there a new person? Is there a new heart? The old has gone, the new has come. Amen? Keep that question, answer that question. Amen? Lord, thank you, because this is essential. And we celebrate the new life you have given us. We celebrate salvation. And we are thankful, for it doesn't come from what we can do. For you so loved us. For you so loved us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.